They want me to get rid of my dog. Can they do that?
I'm being fined for leaving my garage door open too long.
What are covenants? Do I have any rights?
Help, I feel like I've left the American zone.
If you want the answers to those questions, join me, Sue Bartholomew, and my guests on The Commons every Saturday from 2 to 3 right here on WBR Fairfax Radio. We'll ask the experts and we'll untangle the truth about what's left of our property rights.
On the Commons is a weekly radio show dedicated to discussing the many issues surrounding mandatory membership homeowners associations. Join us as we explore this relatively new world of controlled living, which includes condominiums, cooperatives, and both attached and detached single-family homes. Living in a common ownership development means giving up the American dream. It means giving up your constitutional rights and control over your most valuable asset, your home. Living in a homeowners association means leaving the American zone. This is On the Commons, and I am Sue Bartholomew. Radio Fairfax coming to you from the newly gentrified Mosaic District in the heart of Fairfax County. We have swimming pools here that may or may not be quite as dangerous as the one we're going to be visiting today. But first, I want to take your mind back a few years. Do you remember the movie Jaws? Do you remember how after Jaws came out, everybody was terrified of actually going into the ocean, into the water, because they were afraid of Jaws? Well, swimming pools were okay. They were perfectly safe. Until now. Coming to a pool near you, we have Sandy Schenkett from Arizona. Sandy, what happened? You went swimming.
I went swimming almost 2 years ago in my condominium. I was elected to the board of directors in March of 2011, and I spent the entire year fighting with the board. They kept trying to censure me and get rid of me, and that was their ultimate way, was to get injunction put against me. They served me with one injunction. The treasurer, Richard Jabin, actually got his injunction served. I fought it. It was dismissed in court. And then, lo and behold, Cheryl Bergerbaum, the secretary, also claimed to have had an injunction against me, but I was not aware of it. She never got it served through the process server. But she thought she did, despite my testimony in court that I never received one from her. I went swimming after the first injunction was lifted. And that was on February 17th, 2012. The injunction actually said that I was the defendant, may not access any portion of the property located at 10115 East Mountain View Road, Scottsdale, except Unit 212071 and direct paths of ingress and egress thereto. So by my using the pool, Ms. Bergerbaum rushed out of her apartment when she found out I was swimming and called the police and told them that I needed to be arrested. And they arrested me, and I spent 18 hours in Scottsdale City Jail. And it's been a battle ever since to prove that I never got that injunction. I currently have a criminal misdemeanor charge against me.
So, Sandy, I'm a little confused. What, I mean, why would they do that? Why would they have an injunction against you? What happened?
Well, as a board member, I started to realize there was a lot of mismanagement of the money. All the vendors were fired that had been there. New vendors were all hired because we had a new treasurer. We had $1 million. In our reserve account. And actually, the treasurer, Richard Chabon, had gone bankrupt, but unbeknown to us board members, we did not realize he'd been bankrupt, and we turned over this $1 million to him.
Ooh.
So, anyway, word got out that there was some things going wrong, and then the law changed where you could videotape the board meetings, and there were two realtors who were very concerned about what was going on in the community. They both lived in the community, and this board got very upset with them because a blog had been published, and some things were said against the board. Well, because the board members, they accused me of setting up the blog. I told them I didn't even know what a blog was until this whole thing came up. And I had nothing to do with it, but they totally accused me. They accused me of everything. Well, when I realized after our HOA attorney told the quorum of the board, or told the entire board, at an executive meeting that they could not sue these two realtors, they went ahead and did it anyway. So they had secret meetings. They didn't abide by open law meeting. The quorum of the four actually filed a 113-page lawsuit against these two realtor homeowners. That cost in excess of $28,000, and it was dismissed in Superior Court. But when I got drift of this, that's when they really went after me, because I told them they couldn't do that. They'd committed illegal activity. So the treasurer, Richard Chabon, and the secretary, Cheryl Bergerbaum, got in cahoots together, and when they saw me, they called 911 the first time on November 27th and told the police that I stole the Hanukkah banner, Happy Hanukkah, and told them I was crazy and I was screaming and yelling.
Wait,
the police came and wrote up a report, and then I explained to them that I didn't take the Hanukkah banner.
Wait a minute. They accused.
Hold on,
Sandy.
Anyway, the police then realized I didn't do that. But that created a police report. Within a week, they put out a letter with the coupon booklet for 2012 and stated that I had been censured for negative behavior, which was disruptive, destructive, abusive, threatening, and racially motivated, and told the entire community that they had to call the police on me. So on the 24th of December, I saw Richard Chabon, and I said, "You're a filthy person for doing that." He then again called the police and 911 and told them I was acting crazy and they had to get after me, and they couldn't find me because I went to visit a sick friend. And then on the way out of the community, I saw Cheryl Bergerbaum, and I told her she was a filthy person for doing it. They then called the police and reported I was being crazy and they needed to arrest me, and I had driven off. So they had three police reports. They took the three police reports and got injunctions. I overheard the whole conversation with the pro tem judge. They told him I was, they were in danger and fear of their life about me. So the judge signed injunctions. So I got the one on January 6th, but I didn't get the one that Bergerbaum said she sent to me on January 6th, and I didn't get the one that Bergerbaum claims through her process server he served to me on January 5th. So that's what happened. It was dismissed, and because I didn't know about the other one, I went swimming in the pool.
Sandy, can you hear me? Can you hear me, Sandy?
So.
Sandy, can you hear me?
Not very well.
Okay. That seems to be a problem because I was trying to talk to you. And
I couldn't hear you at all.
And
now
you couldn't
hear you.
Now you can hear me because I wanted to stop you a few times.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And ask you some questions. Now, wait a minute. Let's go back a little bit.
Okay.
You said that they accused you of stealing a Hanukkah banner?
Right.
Okay. Was that ever proven?
It was, no, it was not. In fact, the policeman knew that I had not done it, and within about an hour of the time that it was reported that I stole it, the treasurer, Richard Chabon, admitted to the policeman that they found it. So,
let me go back. One of, you had three police reports. One of them was that you stole a banner, a Hanukkah banner, and it was proven that you didn't do that, right?
Right.
What were the other two? Go back.
And then on December 24th, I drove into the community and I saw Richard and I said, Richard, you're a filthy person, and I drove away. That's all I said.
So that was the second report?
Right.
And the police actually came out because you told someone that he was a filthy person? That was...
Right. The police, and this is another thing, this is a violation of 911 emergency, that all three of these calls were not emergency.
Okay, that's different. That's a
right.
whole different thing. I want to stick with the three police reports.
Right.
That led to the injunction. I want to know what it is that you did. What the three reports were about. I want to make that abundantly clear. So that we have a better idea of what happened. The first one was that you were accused of stealing a Hanukkah banner. The second one was that you called someone a filthy person. And so that went, there was a police report filed on that. What happened to that?
Well, because his language was such to the policeman, he didn't say I called him just a filthy person. He put adjectives, horrible adjectives before the filthy person, and words I won't repeat on the radio, and said I was acting crazy. And also, in that first instance, he also told the police I committed a hate crime.
So, okay. So, was any of this proven? I mean, did this guy have any proof? You're telling me that you called him a filthy person. He added language to that.
Right.
And he added insinuations as well. Did the police prove that, or was it just on his hearsay that they took the report?
It was just on his hearsay.
And the third police report was?
It was, I called Cheryl Bergerbaum, a filthy person, because she's a secretary, and together, they had wrote the letter that described me as being destructive and abusive, etc. I called her a filthy person, and I drove away. And then when Chabon found out about that, he, even though I was gone out of the community, he called 911 and actually told the police that they needed to come because he was working on a law case against me and that they needed to come and take the report. And so at that time, he not only told the police that they needed to arrest me because I had a Minnesota license plate on the front of my car, which in Arizona, it doesn't matter what you have on the front of your car, just so you have Arizona on the back. And he told the police to arrest me for that, and that I had said terrible things to them, which I can't repeat either. So all of that, all three police reports I have in my possession, and I have heard those calls to the police. So all of them were fabricated lies and deception on the part of the treasurer and the secretary.
Okay, so there was no proof at all, yet the police the police took the report. That's it. Did
right.
they do anything?
No.
They couldn't do anything.
Right.
Because they had no proof.
In fact, the policeman who took the first report in November 27th told me at a later time that I should sue Mr. Chabon for slander.
For defamation. Okay. That would be a little, yeah. Okay, so now you've got these three reports that didn't go anywhere. There was no proof. It was just hearsay. It was an allegation.
Right.
And yet, based on these three police reports, you were arrested?
Right. They took those three police reports and went to a judge and said that I had committed these harassing acts towards them, and that was justifiable evidence for the judge to write up an injunction for each one of them, and that by then having those served to me, I was precluded from going to any of the amenities in the community, and I had to stay away from both of those two people.
Did the judge want proof that any of this was factual?
No. Mm-mm.
He just automatically, that's it, you want it, you've got it.
Right. Anybody can get an injunction on anybody. You can cross your eyes and look at a person, and you can go to the court and say, you know, that person crossed their eyes at me the wrong way, and judges will give out injunctions. Yeah.
Is there anything in your governing documents giving the association the right to keep you out of the pool?
No, not at all, no. I had actually rented my condo, and I went to the to swim at the pool to meet a friend who was a resident there. So I was totally entitled, plus I had a key because I was an owner, but I was totally entitled to be in that pool. There was no reason, since I was visiting a previous neighbor there at the pool, that I couldn't swim in that pool.
So you don't live there anymore?
I don't live there anymore. I short sold. I lost $65,000 because of this incident. And it has cost $57,000 to be represented in court against these two people. To my benefit, the directors and officers insurance has paid those defense funds for me. So they incurred in excess of $40,000 trying to do this to me, which both of them have surreptitiously gotten the HOA to pay that amount for them.
So, sounds like fun and games, neighbors loving neighbors, huh?
Yeah, uh-huh.
So you no longer live there, you actually sold the unit and you're out.
Yes, I've been out I've been out since June of 2012. Mm-hmm. They continue to harass me. I was recently appointed to the Judicial Appointments Advisory Board for the city of Scottsdale, which I now am part of that board, which reviews the judges of the city. They actually sent an anonymous letter as concerned citizens of the city that to this board and told the board that I was a convicted criminal and I should not be on that board. And their attorney has written to me, despite the fact that I'm not there, and their attorney is Beth Mulcahy now, and she wrote and told me that I could not communicate with anyone on that board, despite the fact that I don't live there.
But this was before you sold, or this was after you sold?
This is after I sold.
Okay.
And I've gotten several cease and desist letters from Clint Goodman, who was their HOA lawyer before, before Beth Mulcahy. So, they have paid these lawyers to write and try and intimidate me. I've had four letters total.
Okay. Now, when we started the show, you talked about $1 million and you talked about the treasurer having filed for bankruptcy. That was a concern, right? Is that why you started to get involved and started asking questions?
Well, I started asking questions because initially when I was first voted on, the community was in process of getting a new paint job. There are 264 condos. And the buildings needed to be painted. I had been involved in some bidding prior to that on getting new roads. So we had spent about $300,000 on new roads, and we were looking to spend like $220-some thousand for a new paint job. When I got on, it was a slam dunk vote in an immediate meeting. 3 days after I was elected, and Mr. Chapin told the rest of the board that he was going to hire Ray of Light painting contractor. I investigated that, found out that there were no bids, and Ray of Light Painting had never done a commercial job. He was an interior house painter. So I became rather alarmed. So I did go and get another bid from Advanced Painting, which is a extremely reputable company, 25 years in business, and they gave me a bid $20,000 less than Ray of Light. So I brought it to the attention of the president, and I said, I think you should look into this before you go forward with Ray of Light Painting. Well, then the treasurer became extremely upset with me. The president did as well, and the secretary. And at that time, the secretary and treasurer both resigned. And then the president asked that they both be reinstated, and then they all went after me and tried to get me censured, and there's no such thing as censure. The only way to get rid of a board member is to have a recall.
So was there any requirement for the board or the association? I mean, it makes perfectly good logical business sense to get a bid and to go out to bid so that you end up with the best prices, because if you know that you're going to be competing for a job and you really want the job, you're going to lower your price. You're not going to go absolutely over the top on that. Was there any requirement? Was it a practice? Had it been done? Or is
no,
this something...
From the time Richard Chapin got on, he basically hired anybody he wanted. He fired the other vendors. There were no bids coming in for other vendors, landscapers, pool people. And so he got the people he wanted. And it was very evident him hiring a company who had never done a large job and had only done interior house painting that there was something wrong. So that was my big concern. And then 3 months later, he also didn't go out for bid and awarded a $65,000 contract to a paving company. And I then researched that after the fact. He just slam dunked it. I abstained, I did not vote for it. I was the only one on the board that did not vote for the company he wanted to hire to do the pavers. So, it just added up and added up that there was something wrong. And then when they went and did this lawsuit against the two other homeowners in the community that were questioning their practices, that was their retaliation. And then they got caught spending this money for this lawsuit and paying this lawyer, Francis Lavin, and there was no payee's name on the check, and the management company caught them doing that, and then they fired the management company and became self-managed in July of 2012. So you know, they now have no one to oversee them. They just raised the dues again. So it's a very sad situation when there's no one, and all the homeowners are afraid of these people. There have been about 10 families that have moved out because they're in fear of this board.
Sandy, thank you so much. We are out of time.
Okay.
But this is what typically happens, I think, when homeowners do try to check and see what's going on with their money. This is a pretty sad story, but good luck. I'm glad you're out of there, and good luck on the advisory board for the city of Scottsdale in Arizona.
And thank you, and I do appear in court tomorrow to have this conviction set aside.
Well, good luck with that.
Okay. Thank you very much for calling, and thank you for all your work on trying to make the homeowners associations do the right job. I appreciate what you do. Thank you.
Thank you, Sandy.
Bye.
Bye. On the Commons, coming to you from Radio Fairfax in Fairfax, Virginia, and we're joined during this half hour by Rena Messler. Rena lives in North Carolina, and she decided that there must have been some funny business going on in her HOA. She questioned the finances, which is one of the big things, because your property, or everything you have, is tied to the association. You've got all these people running around managing things, and you want to know what's happening. So, Rena, you asked, what's going on with our money? Could you please let us know what happened?
Right. What happened was I've been trying to find out where the money is going, where the dues have been going for 2 to 3 years, and I was always stonewalled. The original secretary, or rather treasurer at the time, Alita Young, just kept stonewalling me, which made me more frustrated and more frustrated. And so then I went to the president at that time, which was Nadia Harvey, and she told me, first of all, that I'm not a good fit to be on the board, just FYI. And she wasn't too helpful. So there was someone named Sophia Candace Soles. She was the vice president at the time, and she goes by Candace Soles. You remember her first name is Sophia, and her maiden name is Seagrove. In any case, when she was vice president, she told me that I should come to her anytime I wanted to if I had problems with knowing the finances. So I said, fine, because I was getting nowhere with Alita or Nadia. So I figured, okay, this is good. So she became president. And as soon as she became president, things started to change. First she said, you know, I have games to do with my kids. I don't have time. Call me another time. And she came up always with an excuse why she couldn't do it. And I was getting more agitated because I thought it was a repeat of what I originally had. And the thing that makes it a little bit worse, just again, FYI, is that she faces my house, I face her house. So we sort of see each other every day. So I kept calling her because I have a right to know where the finances are going, and I was not able to find out about it. And next thing I know is I believe it was a Monday morning, there's a very loud knock on the door, and it was very strong. So I figured, this doesn't sound good. It's not a friendly knock. So I peered out the window, and I saw that it was a sheriff. So I decided I'm not going to answer it. And when he left, I picked up his card. I called up the sheriff's office, and I found out, to make a long story short, that there was a complaint harassment phone call, and I was going to be arrested. He came to arrest me. So I went down to the jailhouse.
Rena came to arrest you for what, making a phone call?
Right, for making a phone call, which she said was harassment phone call. It's not a harassment phone call if you have a specific reason that you're calling and you have a right to get the information. My reason was, first she said I could call her originally, then she changed it, but she said I could call her to get this information. I have a right to find out where my money is going, she's obligated to provide that information to me. And rather than providing the information, which I am entitled to receive and she is obligated to provide, she had me arrested.
Now, what did the police say? I mean, you know, it's a harassing phone call. Did they prove that you were harassing her? Was this just on her say-so?
Okay, so the thing is that I did not answer the door. So I called up, he left a little business card, and I called up, and they said that there was an issue with the HOA. So I said, I'm going to come down right now. I want to take care of this. So I drove myself to the jail, and I found out later that the police and the sheriff only drive you one way. The other way, you have to figure out a way to leave the jailhouse. In any case, so I drove down to the jailhouse, and I had a bail of $500. I was handcuffed when I went in there, and I found out that because they didn't feel I was a threat, I was handcuffed with my hands in front. If they feel you're a threat, they handcuff you in your back. I mean, this was a learning experience for me. They took out all my jewelry, they emptied my pockets, they took my bag, and I was handcuffed. And then I went into a second room, and they again went through the same thing with the jewelry and the pockets. I don't know what they thought I was going to hide the second time around that they didn't get the first time. A feather? In any case, I was fingerprinted, I had my picture taken, and because I hadn't eaten breakfast, I thought this was going to be quick, I hadn't eaten breakfast, and I take medication, I asked them, if I could leave, or how long this was going to take, and they said it won't take too long. But meantime, other people that were there, that came in after me, left before me, and I'm sitting there scratching my head trying to figure out what's going on. Well, it turns out, and by the way, another thing is, I wasn't allowed to sit next to anybody else, and I wasn't allowed to talk to anyone else. And also, I just want to say, they had a bathroom in there that has a window in it so that when you're going to the bathroom, they can watch you. This is all, I had to go through all of this because I wanted to know where my money is going. And
wait
I was
a minute, arrested. this was in the police station?
But, no, this was in the jail.
This was in the jail? Home.
Yeah, in the jail, where I was handcuffed. So I found out later that the reason for the long delay, and I was there over 5 hours, was because I had to wait for ICE, which is the immigration department, because I wasn't born in this country. I was born in Israel. And so I had to be interrogated on top of all the other humiliation. I had to be interrogated by immigration to make sure that I was legally here, which I am legally here. I am a citizen of the United States. And then it was just terribly humiliating.
So
and
wait a minute, Rena, stop. How did they know that you weren't born here?
Oh, they asked me where I was born. They took a statement from me when I was there, when I had my picture taken and the fingerprinted. They asked me where I was born, and I was honest.
Okay, so it wasn't something that the association said. It's something that the police generated.
Right, that was from the police.
Okay.
Right, but the point is, if I hadn't been arrested, I wouldn't have had to go through that.
No, I understand. I understand. And the whole reason you were there is because somebody alleged that you made a harassing phone call. I don't know what was said on the call. It doesn't sound like they had, was there any proof that your call was harassing?
No, the only thing I said is that I have a right to know, just like I'm saying right now, I have a right to know where my money is going. And as soon as you give me the money, as soon as you give me the information that I'm entitled to get, I won't call you, but I want to know where my money is going. I'm paying. Any case, there was, the Attorney General was, suing me, so to speak. And they found that I was not guilty. They listened to the tape of the recording. She had taped it. I was found not guilty. But there was I had to go to court. I had to pay for an attorney.
Wait. She had taped your conversation?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And in the conversation, you said, I want to know where my money's going. I have a right to know, and as soon as you tell me, I won't call you anymore. That was the extent of the conversation?
Right. Right.
And the police went ahead and arrested you based on that?
Yes.
And you had to go to court?
Yes, I had to go to court. Absolutely. I had to pay for an attorney. Then I was considered like on the internet, it said you have a criminal record. Everyone can see your criminal record. That you were arrested, and it was very humiliating. And I had to wait a year and a half to get the case expunged. It was finally expunged, but I had to pay money for an attorney. I had to pay again to try to recoup my money, and it was just terrible. It was humiliating. I was furious. I was angry. It was totally uncalled for, especially when I tried mediation. That's another thing. I tried mediation. That didn't work.
No, it's not going to work. For anybody out there, you know, don't fall for this mediation nonsense. It's just another way of just keeping you dangling on a string.
Right, right. But I also had been in contact with Bill Patterson, who's the attorney for the North Carolina legislature, and he told me, which I already knew, that I had a right to get this information, but he told me the proper way to request it. And I did. I followed his instructions, and I sent two demand letters before all this happened. And they probably threw in the garbage. Never heard from them. So basically, the bottom line is that I was arrested for wanting to know where the money that I pay, that I am entitled to get information on, was ignored. And this is how Sophia Candace Soule, Seagrove, chose to handle the situation. She volunteered for this position, and she then is obligated to provide this information to me, and I'm extremely angry about it, extremely angry.
So what happened? You went in voluntarily. You got in your car. You drove down there. It was in the morning. You hadn't had breakfast. How long were you there?
I was there about 5 hours, and I had to sit and wait, as I mentioned. Other people came in after me and left before me, but because I was going to be interrogated by immigration, I had to sit there and wait. And as I mentioned, I hadn't eaten anything, so I asked them if I could either leave or, you know, if they had anything. And they gave me a piece of white bread with bologna. It was disgusting. But it was just a humiliating experience, totally uncalled for. And when I went to the bathroom, they were watching me because there's a window, as I mentioned. They finally let me go, and I drove home. But if I didn't come with a car, I would either have had to have a car service, or I would have had to hitch, or I would have had to have someone pick me up. And this has cost me a lot of money. It has affected my health. It has caused bad blood in the neighborhood. No one really speaks to anyone, and we really don't need an HOA over here. We don't have any amenities. We just have a road and a sign. That's it. And nobody comes, nobody participates, and it was totally uncalled for Candace to do this.
Rena, did you ever get the information you wanted? Did you find out what was happening with your money?
I got it piecemeal. I didn't get it completely. I got bits and pieces of it. But actually, the attorney that was fighting, you know, with Candace against me, he finally was very nice and helpful. And he said because I made such a stink, they now saw that there had been a lot of problems with the money. It wasn't going where it should have been going. And because I made a stink, they were changing things around. But It was just really, really bad. Oh, I should also mention I was in the newspaper, and also I want to mention that Craig Rex from WECT-TV, who is a Raycom Media TV show, he contacted me to do a piece about the issues I was having with the HOA. And then he said in order to be fair, he had to contact the other, you know, the president, the vice president, to see if what I was saying was true. Well, they were so incensed, you know, that they contacted the radio station, and then Craig Wright told me that he couldn't do the piece anymore. Made me think of a dog with his tail between his legs. They were so intimidated by this stupid HOA that they decide not to do this piece.
So I guess the board members, the president, whoever, decided not to talk to them and say, look, you know, we have a problem, you know, there's no problem.
Right.
They just didn't want to deal with it, and the reporter just dropped it.
Right, but they said that I was the only one that was complaining, which is true. I was the only one that was complaining because I found out later on that a lot of people weren't even paying any dues. But there was a lot of bad stuff going on. So it was just really terrible. And just for FYI, this is in Wilmington, North Carolina, off of Gordon Road. So it's called Weaver Woods HOA, and it's just awful.
Did you ever get the statements? Do you have any idea how much money is there and what's happening with the money? Or is that still a bone of contention?
I have a little bit of a better idea. I do know that there are three people that have not paid dues. That's part of the problem. But the rest of the problem is that they don't know how to handle money. They're wasting money on nonsense. So I have a general idea.
So does your association have a budget that the homeowners approve?
They have like chicken feed. They didn't really seem to make any sense. Then they got a new person to do the books, and she was a little bit better. But she's just had a baby, so she can't do it anymore. So I don't know what's going to happen.
So how many units in your association?
There are 27 homes. Two are now on the market, and I don't know if that has anything to do with this HOA. I know that there are five people on the board. I don't know. I just know that three people haven't paid their dues, and a lot of people don't pay on time. I don't know if I've answered that question, but...
Yeah, I guess there's a lot of money that disappears in HOAs. You can go and please don't take my word for it. Please go and Google HOA and embezzlement, and you're going to get more hits than you would imagine possible. Now, the HOA industry, the Community Associations Institute, that sort of is the umbrella, the trade organization for all of the different trades that feed at the homeowner trough, will blame the victim. They will blame the homeowner. It's your fault, homeowner, because you are not making sure that the manager's not stealing, the treasurer's honest, and the board's doing what they're supposed to be doing.
Right.
So they
right.
blame the victim. And right. it's like, oh, don't come to us. Blame them. Now, what happens when people actually do go and say, all right, you know, there's X number of houses and this is how much we're paying, and so you should have so much money in the account.
Right.
And, you know, I don't see you doing anything with the grounds or the streets full of potholes or what, you know, whatever common areas, whatever you have, are not being maintained. So when you start asking questions, then they get defensive. And then they start playing hardball because they can. They use your money against you.
Right.
And earlier, you were not on this show. Earlier, we talked to Sandy, who was also arrested
mm-hmm.
in Arizona. So I've heard from a number of people. I've heard from people who have gone to home to their meetings, and the police have had them handcuffed, sitting in the back of a police cruiser during the meeting, so they can't ask questions.
Oh my God.
You know, it's just horrendous. Yet if you call the police and you say, I suspect that there's some money missing, can you investigate and figure out what's happening? Then it becomes a civil matter. Oh, I'm sorry, Rena, you agreed to this. You now need to go and do your own investigation. But if you ask questions, we will arrest you.
Right.
But, you know, I mean, this is a no-win situation.
Right.
It's got to be a really no-win situation.
Right, right. It's terrible. It's just awful the way this is done. This is supposed to be a democracy. It's more like a dictatorship. But I just want to say, when Nadia Harvey was president, I tried to get on board because I figured I'll be able to find out where the money is going. And she told me I'm not a good fit for the board. So I think that's a compliment. And also, I just want to mention that...
I like your attitude there.
I also want to mention that Candace Soule, she does the insurance for the HOA. So on top of taking all this other money, she gets a commission as well. So I wanted to mention that.
Oh, she's an insurance salesperson.
Right, and she makes a commission on selling the insurance for the HOA. We don't even have a say as to where else we can go because she's making a commission. But I also did want to mention I belong to a grassroots organization called Here for NC. That's H-E-A-R for the number 4 NC. And we're trying to change things. I'm sure there are other organizations as well. But for the listeners, if you're interested, you can either contact me, and she will have my email information, or contact Oli at Here for NC. We're trying to change things so that people don't get arrested, that they have rights, they don't have to worry, they don't have to be afraid, they don't have to feel threatened. And we need major changes. And I also want to say I went to Tom Goolsbee, who was senator at the time, and he wasn't able to help me, but he was willing to charge me $2,500 to be my attorney.
Who's that?
Tom Goolsbee.
Tom
Goolsbee, T-H-O-M, and then it's G-O-O-L-S-B-Y. He was the senator for North Carolina. He's an attorney. And I asked him if he could help me with the situation. And as I said, the way he was willing to help me was to charge me $2,500.
So what does Here for North Carolina do? I know Oli has been on, but what is the main goal? What are you trying to get accomplished?
That people have a right to find out where their dues are going and for everything to be transparent and open and for people to be responsive and in a timely manner.
So what are you doing and how are you going to accomplish that?
Well, first of all, I've been writing emails. I stopped it for right now, but I was writing emails to anyone who would listen, anyone here in the HOA as well as news leaders, the government officials, anyone who was interested. I sent a weekly email out, and I think that's part of the reason Candace was upset, because I was sending out information, and she didn't like that. However, it's the freedom of speech. Also, I'm trying to get involved. I am involved with different organizations, and whenever I find anyone who lives in an HOA, I always try to hook them up with organizations and getting them involved in different ways to deal with this.
So what you're trying to do is make sure that there's more transparency. Is that the one thing that you're working on?
Yes, transparency and responsiveness in a timely manner, yes.
How familiar are you with the North Carolina laws regulating HOAs?
I know there's 47F. There's a few other ones I haven't written down. I do know that there are a few bills that are supposed to be coming out trying to change some of the laws. I do know that.
Well, you want to be very careful because there are a few bills in Virginia that are trying to change the laws, and they are bad, bad, really, really bad bills. So just because there's a bill out there doesn't necessarily mean you want it to pass. You need to understand what's going on. But is there a requirement, is there a statute that you are aware of that says that homeowners are entitled to inspect the books and records of the association?
Oh, yes. As I mentioned, the Bill Patterson, who's the attorney for the North Carolina legislature, he told me that there's a, and anyone can look it up. It's Bill Patterson, at ncleg.net. We have a right under GS 47F-3-118 to see records. We have a right to see all financial records and in a timely manner. I have actually here the 47F-3118, 55A-1601. There's a couple of pages from Bill Patterson's financial records that detail what you are entitled to receive and what you need to do to go about to receive it.
So that's part of the statute, and yet the police were not willing to enforce that. I mean, obviously the police are not going to enforce that.
Right.
So presumably it's in your governing documents, because usually the governing documents have that in there, that
right.
You are entitled to inspect the books and records. Not necessarily entitled to take them home or have
right.
a copy, but you are entitled to inspect them. So, I mean, you can take notes, you can take pictures, you
right.
can do anything you want.
Right.
So they're in violation of the law.
Right.
And do you know if there's been any money embezzled, or is it just self-dealing and I don't know, kickbacks maybe, or anything along those lines?
I think there's a lot of mismanagement, and I think also that they're very wasteful with their money. They're not careful in trying to, check different sources where things might be cheaper. I think they're just spending just to spend. And the treasurer that I mentioned, Andrea, she was trying to fix things up, but she just had a baby, so she's not doing it anymore. But she did show me some of the papers, and things are supposedly getting better. However, she's not on the board anymore, so I don't know what's going to happen. But
so are your neighbors, do you ever talk to your neighbors about the problems? Because, I mean, it affects all of you, right?
I'm sorry?
Do your neighbors know about what's going on? Are they aware of the problems?
Oh, yes. I'm the target over here. Everybody knows me because I'm the only one that's making a complaint. Everybody else sticks up their heads in the sand. They're either intimidated or they're busy or they don't want to know. They don't want to be a target. They're totally apathetic. Nobody wants to be involved. And I'm the only one that wants to be involved, and they don't want me on the board because they know I have a big mouth.
So sometimes it's the squeaky wheel that gets the oil, Rena, so keep it up. Intimidation, especially if you've got a family, and you just said one of the ladies' board members just had a baby. But that's intimidating. I mean, if you think that the police can come and arrest you, and you're sitting at home with your baby, and the police comes knocking, and they take you in and keep you there handcuffed for 5 hours and leave you, that's intimidating. You've got to stop and think about what's going to happen to your family. So I can quite understand that. It's the imbalance of power here,
right.
And it's the unfairness of it all that just galls me.
Right.
But
absolutely.
Good luck. Thank you for coming on. Thank you for sharing the story. I know it was humiliating. I'm absolutely incensed about the bathroom issue. I think that's terrible. That you don't get the privacy to go to the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's absolutely horrendous. Thank you for sharing that. Thank you for making us aware of what happened in your case,
mm-hmm.
and letting people know that if it can happen to you, it can happen to them too, right?
Absolutely. And thank you for having me on. And people are more than welcome to contact me or the organizations I mentioned.
Why don't you give us your email address?
Okay. It's Saba Girl, S like Sam, A like Apple, B like Bob, R like Richard, A like Apple, Girl, G-I-R-L, 220@yahoo.com. And Saba, just FYI, is someone who's born in Israel. But you could be a male or a female, so Saba Girl distinguishes me, saying I'm a female born in Israel. That's the unusual email address. So it's sabagirl220@yahoo.com.
220.
Yeah, that's my birthday.
Oh.
My birthday.
Well, happy birthday.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Thank you again. And thanks to everyone for joining us. Please check out our website at onthecommons.us. On the Commons is produced by OTC Multimedia Productions.
Well, I finally bought my dream home to enjoy retirement life. I've made new friends and buddies, lots of parties for my wife. It seemed that life was perfect, all my neighbors felt the same. Then along came death by CCRs, life's over, I'm fair game. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Now there's lots of open meetings close to justice for HO. Those arrogant board members say what they want you to know. The CAI and ULI will help you lose it all. But I wouldn't sell that dream home yet, the writing's on the wall. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Well, we're not afraid or stupid, all your threats mean nothing here. Time marches on, soon you'll be gone, united we'll be there. So put your rules and CCRs up where the sun don't shine, and enjoy those precious golden years, stop messing around with mine. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell.